this world will try and convince you that good is wrong and wrong is right. Do not close your Bibles. Do not. If you want to know what the truth is concerning anything, the Word of God is where it's at. If we as Christians, hey, the world will not open up the Scriptures to find the truth. But if we as Christians start closing the Word of God, we're in big trouble. This world is out of control crazy. We ought not to be alarmed. We were told that's what's going to happen. I'm not sure if you're aware, men can't have babies. You know that, right? Okay? Anybody seeing this stuff? Unbelievable. Craziness, the world that we live in. Just stick with the Word of God. Just stick with the Word of God. The Bible tells us, and this isn't even, that we're going to Luke 15. I'm just letting you know. Go to Luke 15. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 says, you want to be successful, you want to be prosperous, take hold of this book and do not let it go. Meditate on it, study it, learn it, read it, apply it. This is the commands of God. Praise the Lord for that. Luke chapter 15 here this morning. Abby, can I have my water? Thank you. I left it in my seat. Luke chapter 15. Great to see you this morning. Beautiful day in paradise. Here we are. Luke chapter 15. They're all great chapters. One of my favorite chapters, personally speaking, starting in verse 3. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders. The Bible says this word, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 just persons, which need no repentance. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. God, thank you that we can hold the truth in our hands. God, thank you that we could have that song within our heart and sing it out. God, it's good to worship a God that sits on the throne of all eternity, who knows our deepest needs and cares. Lord, thank you that we can call you our own. God, thank you for being our shepherd. God, forgive us for just being such foolish sheep so often. Lord, I pray you bless the service here today, that you'd quicken our hearts and Lord, chastise us where we need it, encourage us where we need it. Lord, I pray you'd use this passage in a mighty way here today. Lord, put the cares of this world aside just for a moment, that we could hear from you directly. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 15, there's a few parables in this chapter, all of which seem somewhat similar. I don't believe that the Lord placed these together by accident. There's some things that are lost. Number one, a sheep. Number two, a coin. Number three, a son. Each a little bit different. Each has its own context. Each has a little bit different of its focus. In Luke chapter number 15, with the lost sheep, the focus is the lost sheep, that being lost. And if we'll look at this later on, Matthew, but it's all about the lost. And the coin, it's more about the searching for the coin. And in the lost son, it's the restoration of the son. That is the focal point of these stories, but they all kind of fit together. If you go with me, Luke chapter number 15, let's look at verse 1. Let's see the audience and who he's talking to. I love this passage. Now, oftentimes, again, because this passage is impactful to me in my heart and in my mind, I love the stories. I love restoration. I love hearing about people that, or just thinking about people that were maybe sideways with the Lord and getting right with God. Man, that just stirs in my heart. And it's wonderful to see when our young people make a decision to say, take my life and let it be, you know, just that surrender. And it's so good. It just touches me every time. So I read these passages, but often in my life, I don't know why, I skip over verse 1 and 2. I just get right to verse 3 because that's the good stuff, right? I mean, that's where it is. But I as I was studying this over again, in verse 1, it says this, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. You think, man, no, we need in this church more righteousness. Absolutely, I agree. Godliness is great and wonderful, and it will do wonderful things in this dark and backslidden world as we take the light of Christ to those that have never seen and heard. But no, it would be a blessing to have a group of sinners sitting here just listening to the Word of God preached. Say, where do you got that from? Where's that pattern in Scripture? Jesus Christ Himself. Telling me that this passage is not exclusive, but inclusive. We as Christians, I'm telling you, we as Christians so often want to cut people out. All right, this is for us, not for you. The goodness of God is for us, not you. Unbelievable. That's ungodly and unbiblical. And if that's in your heart, you're the Bible says in the Pharisees, and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them? Yeah. Yeah, that's what he did because he came to reach the lost. Man, praise the Lord for that. You know, the lost will act like lost just like a dog acts like a dog. And such were some of you. And who's he talking to here? He's talking to everybody. This passage is so powerful and so impacting because the audience in which it appeals to, who is it? Everyone. We got the righteous, religious, self-righteous, I guess would be the right word. The self-righteous, religious crowd, the scribes and Pharisees. Pastor Seatman was just teaching in Sunday school and he was telling us, showing us about the parables and the Beatitudes. The last verse of Matthew chapter 7, and it says this, and he spoke with authority unlike the scribes. he had something they didn't have. Love that. And there's a self-righteous religious crowd that criticizes the work of God. Lord, help us if that comes into our heart ever. There was a group here, not only just the self-righteous, but there was some that were sinners and needing of Christ. He goes on to start talking to them. He exposes the thoughts of the Pharisees. See, we think we can hide what we're thinking from the Lord. We think we can murmur and talk underneath our breath like this and God doesn't hear. Oh, no. And the Pharisees and scribes murmuring, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. He doesn't respond to them directly, but he says this. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, look at the emphasis that he's going to speak here. He says this, what man of you, he's challenging now. This parable is a little different than the third parable in the passage. This parable is a comparison, a challenge for you to examine your thinking. Think about how you think. He's challenging those that are there. Here, let me give you some facts. Christ came for the restoration of the lost. Christ came to welcome the lost back home again. A lost soul, a lost sheep, will always be the property of the shepherd. Always. Even those that have wandered the farthest away. Those are facts. Christ came for the restoration of the lost. The Bible tells us so. So what man of you? He asked that. He asked a similar question in verse 8 concerning the coin. Either what woman having? By the time we get to verse 11, he's telling us a story appealing to our heart in Luke chapter 15. A certain man had two sons. But here, in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 12, it says this phrase, what think ye? The same passage. It's the parallel passage to this. What think you? What think ye? You know what he's doing? He's talking to the sinners, the publicans, the Pharisees, and the scribes. And know what he wants? He wants you to just think about, hey, how do you see this? How do you see this crowd here? What is your perception of my teachings, my ways? He's challenging us, and I feel like this in the same way as we are not excluded from this passage. If this was the group that was sitting there, I'd be able to find a seat. He would be asking you and me, how do you think? What do you think about this? What think ye? What is one among 100? To you and I, we would say, that's no great loss. Man, to have 99, that's not bad. Let us remember the Lord's view of this. To each of the shepherd, for the shepherd, each sheep is valuable and important. I love, it hasn't been long since, if we're in Luke 15, it hasn't been long since Luke 14. Can we agree? Look at verse 21. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things, and the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, go out quickly into the streets. Look at who Jesus appeals to. The streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. Hey, if God has a heart for those, don't you think he cares about one sheep that wanders away? We are so rich in our society that if we lost one of anything, we'd let it go. We're to the point where it's got to be at least a quarter or higher for us to pick up change on the ground. A penny? Not worth it. It's dirty. Nickel? Dime? No, that's too small. I don't even like change in my pocket. I actually throw change away, right? I mean, maybe you're at the, you get a cup of coffee and, you know, the coffee costs $3.70. I just put the 30 cents in the bucket. Here, keep it. Take it all. Charge me $4 for a cup of coffee. I don't want change. I'll let it go. No great loss, but to the Lord you understand that one sheep that wanders away is still his property and it's still important to him. And although we may categorize ourselves and say, oh, this one is more valuable to the Lord than that one, God is entreating the maimed and the blind and the lame and the halt. Those are the ones he's calling to, just like you and I, not the ones that have it all together. Hey, I was talking to a young man about 2 weeks ago, and he doesn't come to church. He doesn't go to church. He was asking me questions about church. He's like, what do you do? And like, how does it all work? And I was telling him a little details, and he was asking me some questions. Come to find out, he was amazed that there's a chance that people that attend church might need some help in marriage counseling. He's like, you do marriage counseling? Yes. Because there's a perception that I go to church when I have it all together. No. Hey, bring me the blind. Bring me the poor. Bring me the maimed. Let me go find the lost one. That's what he's searching for. What is one among 100? It's important. John chapter 10. Let me introduce you to the shepherd. The shepherd's like no other shepherd. We'll look at the shepherd, we'll look at the sheep, we'll see the rescue, and then we will see much rejoicing. John chapter 10, verse 11. Bible says, I am the good shepherd. Who's speaking there? Jacob, do you have a red letter Bible? Who's speaking? Jesus. He says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. God has given his life. Look, when we read that passage about going out, we read it, as the shepherd goes to find the sheep. You understand that he is spending his life to go do that. Ever do something and feel like this was a big waste of time? Maybe you had to call a utility company and you waited on hold for 45 minutes to then be disconnected. and you're about to drive to Oklahoma to the... Sorry. Cross over into the personal there for a second. So you've done things and you feel like this was an entire waste of my life. God says, as the shepherd, I willfully will spend my life for the sheep. It's all about you. His whole life as the shepherd was about reaching you. Every step, every word, every action, every touch, from sun up to sundown and even long past that, it was about the sheep. It was glorifying the Father, but he gave his life for the sheep. I have one dog. There's a limit to how much of my life I would give for my animal. God says, not me. As the shepherd, for us as his sheep. In John chapter 10 and verse 14, it says this, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Years ago, we got a chance to go to... what's that farm up at Northampton there? Springdale Farms. They had all these little cows, and they feed cows, and they bring in. Ever see that? All those cows look exactly the same to me. And they're like, okay, here comes Ruth. And she's coming in. I'm like, how do you know Ruth? Wait, move over. Watch out, here comes Betsy. I'm like, Ruth and Betsy look exactly the same. But to the caretaker, they're unique. Why? Because they spend time. Hey, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ knows you personally? You're not just another face in the crowd. You're just not another number on this world. No, you are his personal property. And he loves you. And he knows your weaknesses. And he knows your needs. And he knows how to meet those needs. Why? Because the Bible says he's the good shepherd. If he's a good shepherd, I'm a bad sheep. Can I tell you? If those are the comparisons... But he knows me, and he knows you. And the Bible says not only does he know you, but you could be known to him. That means you know about him. Yeah. What the shepherd likes and doesn't like. Oh, the work of the good shepherd is one of personal. And he gives his life. The Bible says not only does he give his daily life. Look at John chapter 10, verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Not only does he give his day-to-day life, it was all about the sheep. He was willing to give up his life, to lay it down. In death, he would pay for the sheep. No shepherd dies for sheep. Sheep die for the shepherd. That's how it goes. Lambs don't eat human. Human eat lambs. That's the exchange. But this is the good shepherd. And if there was going to be an exchange, he says, I take their place. He willfully laid down his life for you and I. Then John chapter 10, verse 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also must I bring. And it says, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, and look, and one shepherd. Oh, man, that's good. I like that. That means we all have the same shepherd. And he likes the same thing. And he knows about us all. There's one shepherd. The work of the good shepherd, he gives his life. It's personal. He lays down his life. And then there's one fold. I don't know if all your ears were ringing this week, but I was bragging on you a little bit. I was telling another person, hate to make them feel bad, but we have a great church. You know, they were kind of complaining, not complaining, but explaining to me how some things were there, and man, just going through a rough time. I said, I'm so thankful for our church people. I said, listen to this. They like to spend time with one another outside of church. I said, we have something called a family here. We're part of one fold. Whether you're an engineer or a student, you can spend time together. Whether you're a programmer or a chicken herder, whatever you do, I don't know. Our free time, never will I, my intention is never to make you feel guilty about coming or not coming to church, right? We come to church because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe somewhere down along there, because we love one another. And it's good to worship the Lord together, one fold. But I love also the fact that with all our free time, we spend time with one another too. It's just like church all week. Hey, that's good. That's a blessing. That's how it should be. Thankful for the family of God. I was talking to a young lady about a year ago, and man, she was explaining some things, and she said, Pastor, after church, it's nothing like this. After church, people, gone. Next time we'll see them is next Sunday morning. I said, well, I have to turn out the lights. Don't want to say names. Yeah, I know, yeah. So, don't want to. I absolutely love it. Isn't that how it's supposed to be? We're one fold. We got one shepherd. We ought to be in the same bin all the time. That's how it ought to be. There's something contrary when the sheep don't want to be around the shepherd. There's something weird when the sheep don't want to be around other sheep. It's weird when a sheep wants to be around a wolf. That's dangerous. Luke chapter 15. The work of the good shepherd. We can complain about a lot of things. Here in New York, we can complain about the weather. I like it. I don't know. I have a pastor friend up in Maine. They're expecting 2 to 3 feet of snow in the next day. Man, what a blessing. That's awesome. They're excited. They're like, oh, we're only getting 1 foot down by us. And, you know, and man, wintertime, yeah, blast us. Kids have been sledding seriously for the last 2 weeks. Solid. Joe, what are you doing this afternoon? Skiing. Say, where's he going skiing? In our backyard? Cross-country skiing? Love it. And we can complain about a lot of things. We can complain about the news. We can complain about the economy. Yes, 2 years ago, $50 or groceries cost $50. Now it costs $75. All right. We can complain about that. There's one thing that we as Christians could never complain about, and that's the care of the shepherd. We could never complain about that. Amen. Jesus Christ is a bad shepherd. Never could we ever say that. And if you did, you'd be lying. You'd have no merit to stand on. You'd be laughed right out of the place. Because everybody knows Jesus Christ is a good shepherd. Let's talk about the sheep for a second. Sheep are dumb. Sheep naturally wander and go astray. And in their folly, they will wander further and further from the shepherd. The further you get from the shepherd, the more dangerous it is, until they're lost. You've all had that moment, maybe in the grocery store. Little Susie's right next to you, and all of a sudden little Susie's not. And you're like, I bet just around the corner. And then you look around the corner, not there. You look down the next aisle. Frantic, you leave your purse, everything in your cart, you're running up and down, all your most valuable belongings. Well, nothing in compared to a child. Right. There you are running up and down. Oh, let me help you. Always go to the cereal aisle. That's where you left them. They got overwhelmed by the cereal. It's an overwhelming thing. That's where they're at. That or the Oreo section. There's like 30 different kinds of Oreos. How could any kid just move on past like nothing? But there you are. And the further they get until they're lost. Don't worry, you got four other kids at home. I'm sure that one is fine. You understand the passage now, right? You understand that, right? One goes wandering off. You're not like, you know what? I bet they'll find home. I bet they'll get back. I bet they'll find their way. They're five. That's okay. I'm sure I've given them 5 years of instruction. Hey, listen, they can't fend for themselves at five. I don't know what I'm going to do. No, not the case at all. You actually leave everything to go find that one. Oh, man. What a mixed emotions, right? You're slapping them, hugging them, crying, loving on them when you find them. The further they get to the point till they're lost. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 25. 1 Peter 2, 25 says, For ye were as sheep going astray. That's naturally how we are. But are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. Man, isn't it a blessing to know that someone's coming to look for us? Because naturally, as sheep, we do wander. I don't know why. Sheep are always on the lookout for a better. Do you understand that the best place is with the shepherd? I don't know why Christians would wander away from the good shepherd. They're looking for something better, and you know why they will keep wandering? Because you'll never find it. You'll leave the fold, and the further you get from Christ, the more dangerous and the darker it will get. Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. What do we need? We need the Lord Jesus Christ. Go with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Verse 176. Psalmist writes this in the last verse of the longest chapter of your Bible. Psalm 119, verse 176. I have gone astray. Psalm 119, 176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. If you've ever wandered from the Lord, there's something that you cannot get rid of. That's the word of God in your heart and in your mind. And even though you may wander, there's something still, because the word of God will not return void, and you can't get rid of that. And even if you wander further and further away from the Lord, the chastisement of the Holy Spirit and the word of God is upon your life constantly. You can't forget it. You can't forget it. That's what he says. And that's the nature of the sheep. A sheep, the good shepherd, and then we have the story of the sheep, just naturally to wander and go astray, looking for something better than what the good shepherd has to offer. To the point where they get lost. Lost. As a Christian, it's possible to get lost. Now, understand what I'm going to say here. Flag the tape, all right? Here we go. You cannot lose your salvation. But you get away from the leading of the Holy Spirit of God, and it will feel like, not that you don't have the love of God in your heart, not that you're not a child of God, but you've lost your way. It's an awful feeling. It's a scary feeling. And the only thing that you'll want is what that sheep wants, to be rescued. Go back with me to Luke chapter 15. Ever get fed up with a project or something and you just quit on it? Do you understand that the Lord Jesus Christ never quits on you? Even as foolish, even after all the warnings, he's given us an entire book of example after example of the blessing of obedience and the problems of following hard after our own self-righteousness and flesh. But yet we still deny it and we think we're an exception. I'm going to go do what I want to do. And yet God still doesn't give up on us. The Bible says in Luke chapter 15 and verse 4, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness? He's challenging again their thinking. He says, think about what you're saying. Hey, because the Pharisees are upset that Christ is talking with sinners. And he's like, hold on a second. Wait. Which of you doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost? The Bible says this beautiful phrase, until he find it. Hey, you wander away from the Lord starts looking for you. Understand that the furthest you are from the Lord, that will be your darkest moment. That will be the most dangerous, and that will be the most distant from the Lord Jesus Christ. I love how he brings him back. Verse 5. When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders. And the Bible says this, rejoicing. Why would he have to lay it on his shoulders? Probably because harm came upon it. Read many books about shepherding and a shepherd's view and understanding of these passages and explaining this. That a sheep, once it finds a spot that it wants to go, it's stubborn enough that no matter what you tell it, no matter how, it's obsessed with that spot. Can we identify, right? We get in our heart and mind that's what I want to do. Yeah, but God says don't do that. Yeah, but that's what I want to do. And you're just at the window just drooling. Let me out. And that sheep will do that. And even after reprimanding and bringing it back and bringing it back and bringing it back to the point where a shepherd will even have to break a lamb's leg to keep it from wandering off. Hey, understand that being away from the Lord Jesus Christ is dangerous. That's why he's got to carry it back. Maybe there's been some injury. You say, well, it's just easier. Easier? It's not easier carrying an animal than an animal walking next to you. If I had to carry my 70-pound dog from anywhere, it's not easier. Walk. But probably injury has come. So that shepherd takes the sheep, picks it up. Have you ever seen sheep in their natural habitat? They're disgusting animals. They're not like, remember those little books like, you know, like our in ACE we have, what's the lamb's name? Baba, is that it? Always white and fluffy and happy and, you know, just blue eyes and just, hey, wonderful. No, they're filthy and disgusting and nasty and they get stuff all stuck up in their wool and they wander through, especially if they've been in places that they shouldn't have, and briars and thorns and all of that. And that shepherd comes in the midst of all that filthiness. In the midst of all the filthiness. Right? He just took it upon himself. Just placed it upon his shoulders. And he carries it all the way back. I'll tell you what I wouldn't be doing. The last verse, or last word of that verse. Rejoicing. Just thinking, rotten. We are having lamb chops tonight. The Lord's rejoicing. Why? Because he found it. Because he found it. Years ago, there was a sitting in this room, going to this school, sitting at my house. Young man, in my eyes, had all the promise and had all the potential for doing something for the Lord, and met with me over at Hilton Family Diner. That's where we would meet. One day he told me, he says, I'm out. I said, hold on, bud. What are you talking about? Done. I'm not coming to church anymore. I want to go do what I want to do. I said, you know that's wrong, right? I said, well, we'll see. I said, you got to stop. I said, you can't do that. He's like, I'm doing it. I'm leaving my house. I can't live at home anymore because what I'm participating in. If you ask him today, those would have been the most miserable years of his life. To say it broke my heart would be an understatement. I shed so many tears, and I couldn't even read these passages because I would just think about them and just hurt. A couple years later, he called me, sat in the exact same booth. Said, I've made a terrible mistake. I want to come back. Turned his life around. I've seen this over and over again. Say, were you mad at him? There was much rejoicing. In the absence of the sheep being gone, the rest of the flock just waits for the shepherd and the sheep to come back. They just await the return. And the Bible says, look at verse 5. And when he hath found it, he layeth on his shoulders, rejoicing. Once again, we feel like when we come back to the Lord, oh, there's going to be chastisement and there's rejoicing. Rejoicing of the shepherd. Look at verse 6. Rejoicing amongst the friends. That's an interesting way to call the other sheep. Right? So here comes the shepherd with the sheep. And he lays it down back in the fold. Know what that sounded like? Lamb bliss. I don't know. Bah! Bah! The friends rejoice. The other shepherd rejoice. Together. He calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. This year we've been talking about, so far, rejoicing in the Lord. Do you understand that the rejoicing doesn't stop even on earthly soil? Look at this, verse 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. More than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. The rejoicing of the shepherd, the rejoicing of the friends, the rejoicing in heaven. Say, what? I'm just one face in the crowd. I don't mean anything to anybody. You've been lied to. Oh no. You're important because you never stop being the property of God. And He will seek you, and there will be rejoicing, not just here, but in heaven, when you repent and come back home. Repentance leads to restoration. Always does. Maybe sitting here thinking, does this apply to me? If you can make application from this, it applies to you. Yes. Is this for the lost? Yes. Is this for the wanderer? Yes. It's for all of that. So where are you? Where are you in the story? Are you the sheep that has wandered away from the fold? Are you the sheep on the shoulders of the shepherd coming back? Are you the friends waiting, anticipating the return? We all have a role. For the shepherd to go out to get the sheep, he had to go to dangerous places. Understand that. I understand that there's an anticipation just waiting for that shepherd to come back home. Waiting for that sheep to come back. Is he okay? You better believe there's rejoicing. Have you wandered? Let me ask you this. Who's still out there? Who's still wandering? Have you closed the curtains and stopped watching? Have you given up on that one? What man of you? Consider your thinking here this morning. Let's all stand. Yes, it applies to you. Have you wandered? Are you still out there? Are you watching? Are you waiting? I'm going to do something a little different this morning. I asked Brother Rodell to come and sing the invitation this morning. I want you to just sit here and listen to it. There's a special song I asked him to sing. But I want you to consider this. I want you to consider the passage. I want you to consider Christ challenged our thinking here. So where are you at? Are you the one wandering? Are you the one on the shoulders? Are you the one waiting for those to come back? We each have a position. The greatest impact that we can make on the sheep that are out is by praying and being a faithful witness. I encourage you to do that. Come talk to the Good Shepherd about these things. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless this time of invitation now. Lord, I know what it does in my heart. Think about those that are out in the world in dangerous areas. I can only imagine what you think. Lord, help us to not stop waiting. Help us to not stop watching. Help us to not stop praying. Lord, I pray for those that are away. Lord, get them back here. Get them back to your side. Get them back to the fold. Lord, there will be much rejoicing. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As Brother Rodell sings, listen to the song, but I invite you to come to the altar.
There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold, but one was out on the hills away, far off from the gates of gold, away on the mountains wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care, away from the tender shepherd's care. Lord, thou hast here the 99. Are they not enough for thee? But the shepherd made answer, this of mine has wandered away from me. And although the road be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep. I go to the desert to find my sheep. But none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night the Lord passed through ere he found his sheep that was lost. Out in the desert he heard its cry, sick and helpless and ready to die, sick and helpless and ready to die. Lord, whence are those blood drops swollen away that mark out the mountain's track? They were shed for the one who had gone astray, and the shepherd could bring him back. Lord, whence are thy hands so rent and torn? They're pierced tonight by many a thorn. They're pierced tonight by many a thorn. And all through the mountains thunder-riven, and up from the rocky steep, there arose a glad cry to the gate of heaven, rejoice, I have found my sheep. And the angels echoed around the throne, rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. Rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own.